kids to be people. I mean, it's just without measure.
Why would it be without measure, which I agree with you? Why would it be without measure?
Because it was, let's see, but each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift.
Okay, what verse are you in?
He gets seven. He gets...
Now that's a different... That's a different gift. That's a free gift with the emphasis on its gratuitous character.
See, when I looked it up,
go ahead.
Mine said a present, specifically a sacrifice.
Well, how would you know that when it's not even here? You would know it because it was a grace given through the measure of Christ's gift, and how did Christ, he went on high... That he might do what? Two things. According to verse 8.
Set the captives.
Captive a host of captives and?
Give.
So it's sort of like the egg. You can't have the egg until you break the shell. And Christ, when he went and sat on the right hand of the Father, broke the shell. So that we could have the egg. We could not have that until then. All they could do was watch Jesus. Think of the disciples. Prior to Acts 2, all they could do was look at this amazing person, and they couldn't duplicate anything he did because it was still in him. Until he died, it wasn't really available to us. All they could do is watch.
And they must have had a lot of questions.
And trouble with faith. I mean, think how many times. I mean, they've been walking with Jesus. They've seen what he's done. Right after he fed the 5,000, he fed again, and they're still going, they don't get it. And then he goes out.
Two by two, gave him authority when he was still on earth.
So right. Well, it was a different kind of authority. They were to go out and talk about him.
Yeah.
And the rest would still be up to the Holy Spirit. But they're having him in their lives. The Holy Spirit, up till the time of Pentecost, would leave and come and leave and come. They didn't have Jesus. Once the Holy Spirit came and faith was tied with it, the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus came to live with you. So you had him from that point on. You have him, you have the Spirit, and evidently, according to what we've read, you had the Father.
Kit, in verse 7, when it talks about... Christ's gift, is that grace, being that the gift says to give a free gift with emphasis on the character?
Well, the sentence is grace was given. That's your sentence.
Right.
Everything else further explains that. So when you read grace was given to whom?
To each one of us.
And how is it given?
According to the measure of Christ's gift.
So it is grace. You're talking about grace. And we know that grace is what?
Free gift.
Free. So if you want to, I mean, if you keep trying to understand it, you know, guys, you're not going to understand this all in one shot. So keep going over the places that you see grace talked about and what you can learn about it. It's kind intentions of God's will. It is. And it keeps taking us back to him. And we are going to find out that all gifts are given by grace. We are saved by grace. So for those, each one of us, grace was given. He hasn't really explained it yet. So we're just beginning to see how, well, according to the measure of Christ's gift, and you might want to say, but what does that mean? Because it's apportioned or allotted or measured, but we still haven't been told what that means yet. Here, okay? So, it's right, you don't understand it. But, again, it is based
right
on this. Therefore, it says, when he ascended, so that's a time he did two things. He led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Still not explained. Okay? Still not explained. Verse 9. Now, this expression, by the way, these are using Old Testament verses, and I went back to some of those Old Testament verses and didn't get how they use them. Sometimes it doesn't help me to see where it starts from. Sometimes it does. This particular one, it didn't. Psalm 68:18. Somebody want to look there? Psalm 68:18. The ascended part comes out of Psalm 68:18. And somebody want to look up Isaiah 44:23. That's the descent. So you have the ascent in Psalms and the descent in Isaiah. Verse 9, I'm just going to read that and then I'll ask you to read your verse. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. So he ascended, what does Psalm 68:18 say?
You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there.
Now that is saying that the one who led captives received gifts, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is a little different. It's the same, but it's different. Okay, so he descended into the lower parts of the earth. What does Isaiah 44:23 mean? And this one I don't get.
Shout for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout joyfully, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into a shout of joy, your mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and in Israel he shows forth his glory.
I just got it.
Mm-hmm. The lower parts of the earth.
He went to lower parts of the earth, and these who he ascended with. He ascended on high, and he led captives. Where were the captives? They were in the lower parts of the earth. That's the clearing out of... where is he?
Yeah.
Sheol, thank you. Yeah. Not totally yet, because he still has more to go, but... So he who descended is himself also he who ascended. So when he ascended, who is he? And what did he do? That's resurrection.
He also descended.
Pardon?
He also descended.
But he didn't do that until after he rose up through the resurrection.
So he's led captives.
And he led captives free.
And then he gave gifts.
Yeah, and it says, some to the wicked.
No, what I said was in the word, in the usage of the word, just the word, it's irrespective of character of the giver. It may be evil. Here it isn't.
Okay.
In other words, it's the gift, not the person that you look at for the one in verse 8. Okay? Although we know it's from a holy and gracious God. It's not easy to understand these things.
So that makes me right back to Sunday's message when all the graves opened when he...
On Matthew?
Yeah. That still...
But why do you think that God did that? I mean, they saw it.
Yeah, a sign of who he was.
What happened first?
The temple was...
Well, even before then. The world grew dark.
Oh, yeah, that's right, darkness.
How do we get my attention? Then
the temple was rent.
But who would know that?
Only the high priest.
The Pharisees.
The priests who are inside the temple.
Yeah.
So he is making an announcement to the world, specifically to the religious hypocrites, and then to show his... Remember we talk about... We're going to see miracles come out of... in the beginning of the church, and what are the miracles supposed to do? And we're going to study this more. They are. It's power. The word is power. It's dunamis. We change it and put miracles, but it's dunamis. He shows power.
I got one question.
Only one?
No. Okay. Jesus died, Paul. He said he died, I'm finished. That means it doesn't matter, I'm evil and good. He did all the finish,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Well, what was finished, hon?
He finished every hour.
Yeah, but what he finished was what God called him to do.
Oh, that's what I finished.
And
okay.
He finished all the promises of the Old Testament.
Okay.
And he finished the covenant. Of the law.
Oh, okay.
And he
Old
finished
okay.
all men dying and going to hell.
Okay.
He finished it. Now he made it accessible.
New covenant. He's the good and the evil. He gave it.
No more evil. He took care of it. It for him. For he didn't take. He's not taking it to heaven.
Okay. One of my question is this. Okay.
Okay.
It's
all right. Translate.
He resurrection.
Yes.
He resurrection.
Yes.
To good and evil, coming up Christ.
To
then give. How are they coming? His grace coming up. His grace coming up the evil people to hear, right?
Yes.
Then coming up church.
We're all evil. We were all evil.
Mm-hmm. Oh, before that, we were all evil.
We were all evil.
Okay.
We were born with sin.
Okay. Now
and the message goes out to all us evil people, whether Jew or Gentile. The Jews had the law, but they still didn't obey the law. The Gentiles didn't have God.
Okay, I got it.
Okay?
Yeah.
So
thanks for asking.
Thank you, thank you. Now I got it.
Okay. I have a question.
Sure.
You referred to the day of Pentecost. So that's when the apostles got saved?
Yeah, because the Holy Spirit hadn't come before then.
So
now, just a minute. Let me give you another picture.
Okay.
Was John the Baptist saved when he died? Was Abraham saved when he died?
No.
By what?
Faith.
By faith.
Yeah.
It's faith that saves.
Right.
Abraham looked for a time ahead. John the Baptist was waiting for the
Messiah.
The Messiah. He was the last of the prophets of the Old Testament. Last. But he still was not under the grace of the New Testament. He was an Old Testament prophet.
Mm-hmm. But he was saved by his faith.
By faith.
Okay.
All men are saved by faith.
Right.
Whether they're looking forward to the time that Jesus is coming, or us who are looking backwards to the time that Jesus came.
Okay, so if they didn't get saved until Pentecost, then when Jesus came and revealed himself to them,
mm-hmm.
and Thomas says, "My Lord," and accepts him as the risen Messiah, wouldn't that have been the point of Thomas's?
What?
Because he's declaring his faith now.
Well, and they did all the way through, but they still kept sliding back and forth on things. The thing that's still, it's the faith saves, but what happens then? What happens after we believe?
We grow. We walk.
And the Spirit enters us.
Mm-hmm.
Christ enters us. So if you don't have Christ entering you, which they couldn't, which we do, which is what happened, again, going back, prior to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was always there. We see him, we saw it as a class when Saul was king, he had the Holy Spirit. When he disobeyed God, the Holy Spirit left.
Right.
That does not happen to a New Testament believer. Why? Because it's not up to you. And Christ comes to live there. And it's that process of growing that makes the temple. So Pentecost was the time that the Holy Spirit came to stay in those who believe. Does that mean people prior to that were not saved? No, they were saved by faith. What does our verse say? Saved by faith through grace.
So then on the day of Pentecost, if they already believed, they were saved by faith. Then on the day of Pentecost, they received a different infilling of the Holy Spirit.
That is their point of salvation right there. It's not salvation before. You see, before I was a Christian, I believed in God. I've never not believed in God. Never. It's, to me, it's the most obvious thing in the whole world. But that wasn't a saving knowledge.
No, it's believing in Jesus that's a saving knowledge.
Which nobody ever really told me about. Faith, and that's why it's different today. It all happens at the same time.
Yes.
You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. I know that there are theologies alive today that teach differently than that.
They teach two works of grace.
And it's false.
Yes.
That is a false teaching.
Yes.
The reason it's... Okay, I'll explain how that came about, though. When you go through that 8 years, remember I talked about those 8 years where the Jews were the only ones who were really believers?
Mm-hmm.
And it hadn't come yet. There was in chapter 18 of Acts... I think it's 18 in Acts, but there are other places, that there were people who would follow John the Baptist's teaching and were waiting for the Christ and believed, but they didn't believe the body of truth, which is why I took you to Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, so you could see that first. They didn't believe in the body of truth, and when it was revealed to them that the Christ had already come, they didn't know that. They didn't know that. I have no idea. You'd think every newspaper would have it out. But anyway, they didn't know. And as soon as they knew, they received the Holy Spirit. So, and there are enough places, not all places, that that happens, that people will call that a second work of grace. A second work of grace. It's not. Mm-hmm. What we're not getting is that process in Acts that's built slowly, that teaches... that. But that whole first generation was alive with Christ around the time Christ was. Doesn't mean they were believers. But there is that process until it came and solidified. And after that whole first generation was done, it was more obvious what the process was. It's like speaking in tongues. When you have when you're at Pentecost and you see all these people, one person is speaking, and they're all hearing it in their language. Do I understand that? Well, I haven't ever experienced it. Not that I haven't experienced tongues, but I haven't ever experienced that. And
you mean like when someone speaks up in the body, or are you talking about when you're praying?
I'm talking about
individual
Pentecost.
Okay.
And Pentecost, they had Jews from all over the world. There is no way the guy speaking up there could have spoken a language for all of them. They didn't even know their own Hebrew.
Yeah.
Today they don't. I mean, there's a lot of... what Yiddish is sort of a mixy-moxy mess of what was Hebrew and whatever country they went and stayed at. So, but, okay, let's say pretend every one of us in this room speaks a different language. The miracle of the Holy Spirit speaking is as Peter spoke.
Everyone understood.
Everyone understood, and that's like amazing.
Yes.
That's phenomenal, and I do think that that can still be today. But there's no reason for me to do that in this room. Why?
We
all speak the same one. Well, most of us all speak the same.
Well, we might say it a little differently, but
all right, Grace, that's enough of that.
Even y'all, all y'all. I actually think that's much better than what we say, because it gives emphasis to talking about multiple. English language does not give multiples, so you never know whether it's going y'all or you. Okay. Let's keep going, because I want to at least try and cover what you studied. Okay, so we had him filling all in all, and far above heavens, and we'll keep talking about this stuff. This is not just a one-time shot, okay? But verse 11, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets. And for a background of that, for the apostles and prophets, I'm not going to go to it because we have limited time, but Ephesians 20, which 2:20, which we've already gone through, and 3:5 both talk about the apostles being the foundation, apostles and prophets. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 3:10 does too. So as we look at this, this very book talked about the apostles and prophets as foundation. Okay? And we'll talk more about that. And some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and I think that is one word, pastor-teacher, for various reasons we'll talk about. I don't care if you believe it's separate. It doesn't make any difference to me. But some as evangelists and some as pastor and teachers. And for what purpose was this foundation placed? The apostles and prophets, and then what came after the apostles and prophets? Why? Why would evangelists come after the apostles? What is the apostles and prophets?
Apostles of truth.
They're the law, the scriptures.
They're the foundation.
Yeah, they're the foundation of the Old Testament and New Testament. You put it another way, if you want to put it that way. It's the foundation. How do we know when something is true? It can't be your experience. It cannot be my experience. It has to be what the Word of God says. And that's what's going to define and clean up my experiences. Because I cannot tell you how many times I've had people say, you have to believe me because this is what happened to me. No, I don't. I had a woman in my Bible study years and years ago who came to me and said, I'm going back to my first husband, who is not a Christian. You may remember them. I don't know. Who said, I'm going back to my first husband because God sat up in that corner of my room and told me I was to go back to my first husband. She was married to her second husband, who was a good man. She had her two children by that man. But she was telling me that God told her to go back to her first husband. And she expected me to believe it because she got a word from God. I'm sorry, I have the word of God, which teaches an entirely different thing. And I'm thankful because I can stand on the word, not on me. Or what I feel. Right? Okay, what is the purpose? Okay, so we have evangelists. So here we have the body of truth, the foundation of the faith. And then God sends evangelists and pastor teachers. Why?
Evangelists give the good news.
So they're going
from place to place.
Yeah. From place to place. And once the evangelists give the good news, especially to those Gentiles who know nothing, what do they need next?
Teachers.
And without those teachers, they're not going to have verse 12. The equipping of the saints for the work of the service, because that's how we learn. If you were, especially when you were a Gentile, you had no background in any of this. You know, you could become saved today and have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, and God has called you as an evangelist even. You have nothing to teach anybody because you don't know anything. So if you're not being taught, you can't even live out the gifts that God has given you. So the building up of the body of Christ until what? How long is God going to give all these gifts until for the equipping of saints and work of the service? So until there is unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, until there is mature men, until there is a measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, in other words, until we look like Jesus, this is all going to continue on. Got it?
Yeah.
That's the basis and the foundation of the church. 14, as a result, we are no longer what?
Children.
What do children look like?
Tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind.
And by trickery of men and by craftiness and deceitful scheming. In other words, there are even schemes out there to get you to be tossed to and fro. Verse 15, but rather than all that, what do we speak? And to grow up in all aspects to him who is the head, even Christ. What do we know about that? Verse 16.
From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love.
So what is the purpose and the point of speaking the truth in love? We are to do what and how? We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head. How do we know? Well, the verse just before it, verse 13. We're to do all that stuff in the building up the body of Christ until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Knowledge of what?
The Son of God.
That's true for the Jew and the Gentile, isn't it? To a mature man, to the measure of faith which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Are you there yet?
No.
Got a ways to go. Okay. Any questions? Go ahead. Are you overwhelmed?
Yeah, a lot.
What do I want to do? Let's just talk. Let's make it more a slowdown. So tell me, after you've looked in your verses in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians, I think there was 3:2, and then Ephesians 4. What are the gifts? What are the gifts? Because you're going to now start studying the gifts. We've studied
a bunch of them.
There's a bunch of them. So go for it. Tell me what. Tell me what some of those gifts are. Let's do Corinthians 12.
Well, I got wisdom.
Wisdom.
Knowledge, faith. Gifts of healing. Miracles. Prophecy. Distinguishing of spirits. Various kinds of tongues and interpretations of tongues.
And then, Corinthians 12, 28, and 30. And why is this kind of separate from that?
Well, because it goes to the who? The apostles, the prophets, the teachers, miracles of gifts of healing, health.
Well, it goes first, Grace, do it this way. God is appointed in the church. First what?
Apostles. Gifts.
Second what?
Prophets.
Third, what?
Teachers.
And then the rest come out of all of that. So what are the three primary gifts that, again, lead back to what the foundation of the church is?
Apostles, prophets, and teachers. The word and those who speak the word.
Is that not logical?
Mm-hmm.
Then what does he go to? And remember, the word miracles is power. So then, why would power be something that might come after those things? Bless you.
I didn't hear that.
What? Why power? Why does power come next after the apostles, prophets, and teachers?
Because you have to know who the power is coming from.
You do. And you need to know who is the point of all this. Is it my power? It's God's power. So when God shows himself through power, who is being pointed at?
Jesus.
Jesus is. And when you come into a place that is never, which has had all sorts of false prophets and, I mean, yeah, well, false prophets and gods, multiple gods, you got to know where the power source is. And I would if I were out there and I had no, I want to know who really has the most power. And that's in essence what the Egyptians did with Moses, isn't it? They were testing to see how powerful Moses was, and was his God bigger than their God, right?
So were they really?
Elijah did when he went up before the prophets of Baal.
Yep, all 400 of them.
Yep.
So were they really testing Moses' God?
Well, in essence, that's what they're doing. What they were trying to prove. Their God was greater, is what they were trying to do. Just like she was saying with the Elijah, when and he just waited until they couldn't get the
fire going,
fire lit, and then God came and lit it. Now, does that mean that people are going to believe once there is power?
No.
When you think of the time of Jesus at the wedding in Cana. Who knew that it was Jesus who turned water into wine?
Servants.
All those guys sitting in the kitchen, they knew. They're the ones who brought the water in. They knew it was not wine. Do you hear of any of them believing?
No.
So miracles don't
They don't cause belief. They cause you to be able to, if you are seeking, to know that this is true. And then you still have to choose faith.
Miracle. The only thing that can bring you into belief, though, is the Holy Spirit says no one come to him except the Holy Spirit draw him.
Right.
So without him opening that up to where you can even grasp it, because basically this thing's crazy making. To look at it from a worldly point of view, there is no sense to this at all.
No, and that's what
it
says
to be through the Holy Spirit.
So, where does he go from there?
Miracles, gifts of healing.
Gifts of healing. Helps. Would that not be another miracle provider?
That's manifestations.
Helps.
Administrations. And various kinds of tongues.
Now, do all have to have those gifts?
No.
All speak
their individual
those gifts.
Given as he wills.
Mm-hmm. As he wills for his purposes. Okay.
For the building up of the body.
For the building up of the body to do the work of the ministry with a head at who is
Jesus.
It's Christ. There you go. Okay. Well, we have 6 minutes. My mind is dead.
Romans had a little different.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Let's go finish. I didn't finish. Okay, tell me about Romans.
Well, I got what? Prophecy.
Prophecy.
Service.
And how does prophecy, by what?
Faith.
By faith. Service. Do we really have any idea what that means? Not yet. Go ahead, Arthur.
Teaching.
Teaching and teaches and teaching. I think these are funny. Teaches and so, which is the gift? Teaching or teaches? Exhort or exhortation? Now, gift with liberality, I understand. How about leading?
Wisdom.
Leading, and then the last one I got was mercy.
And mercy with
cheerfulness.
Mm-hmm. And what did we get in our Ephesians?
Apostles,
evangelists,
pastors, teachers.
And what do we call that? What does Ephesians call that? The foundation of the apostles and prophets. And when we look at Corinthians
28 and 30?
Yeah. What does it say? It says the same thing. God is appointed, which is different than gift giving. Appointed is different than gift giving. So just keep mulling on that. Because we'll think about it some more. And who did he appoint?
Apostles, prophets.
That's it. The rest of that comes out of that. The apostles, prophets, and teachers. Okay. So, questions. Okay, I'll ask you some questions then. I never did. The questions that they gave you in the lesson is why are the spiritual gifts given?
For the common good.
For the common good. Who receives the gifts and how do they receive them?
The body.
This is what I think is interesting. He does the individual first and then the body. So I can't have faith for my children.
Right.
So, I have faith, which puts me into the body. Right? So, it's individual and it's group, all at the same time. You can't have somebody hanging around a bunch of Christians, calling themselves Christian, because they're hanging around a bunch of Christians. It's hanging around the Holy Spirit. It's hanging around Jesus that makes you a Christian. And how do we receive gifts?
Through the Holy Spirit.
Well, also, it says through Christ, too. It, as you looked in that, and when it asked the question, who determines which gift is our given, it's both of them. Mm-hmm. And which means it's the Father, too. So, again, what is the purpose of the gift? It's for the whole body. Why do we pray for the greater gifts, whatever that means, which we've talked about a little, but we haven't really touched on. Why would we pray for that? Is it that you pray for it?
Or the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray for it.
Well, if you notice that something's missing in your church, mm-hmm. you need to be praying for it. I mean, can you imagine, and the probably the best picture that would be out in the mission field, but can you imagine a whole bunch of people coming to the Lord and nobody to lead them? Nobody who could teach them anything?
Nobody to disciple them?
Nobody to disciple them? That you would start praying for them. You know, if you were in some little town in Podunk, center of Washington, and your pastor dies, what are you going to start praying for? Because you need to be led. You need to, God's word there. You need it to be centralized. And if there's nobody else with the Holy, with the spiritual gift of teaching or being a pastor, then you need that, right? Okay. So we've really looked at a lot of those. So let me go here and see if you guys have been thinking about this. What kind of jobs or services do people usually ask you to do? Have you thought about that? What activities, attitudes, or behavior do people usually notice or compliment you? And you can't tell me you have a spiritual hairstyle. Won't work. Are you the type of person that rarely gets asked to do anything? Why do you think this is true? I think that's a funny one.
So you stay in the background and nobody knows you're there is why you
don't. They know every time you're asked.
Because you're not showing them anything, are you? Do you ever volunteer for any type of job or service to others? What do you think they're looking for here to kind of help you with thinking? They're being nosy. Well, nobody knows the answer but you. Why do you volunteer for that type of job or service? Do you feel drawn to a particular type of people? What that's looking for, I mean, I'm kiddingly, I've said that Connie could teach this class easily, but she would be mortified by it. Why, Connie? Who do you want to teach?
The kiddos.
Little people.
And one-on-one with people. I always think that whenever God gives us something or shows us something in our lives, he immediately wants us to share it with somebody else.
But it's the same. She has the same gifts I have, but not the same ministry.
But I would be mortified. I couldn't. Yeah.
Well, and I would be mortified to stand up in 40,000 people and try and evangelize. I mean, it would be ridiculous. I mean, the point is that, and we're going to look at this, and when it says, are you drawn to a certain people? Well, maybe you're drawn to Japanese. You probably should either not be here or find a Japanese community. That's the point it's trying to do. What are you always drawn to? What kind of people? It's not trying to say better, lesser, you know, that. It's just saying, what has God put in your heart that you maybe haven't even paid attention to yet? You think you're weird because you're always drawn to the street people. Or you're definitely not drawn to the street people. That both of those can be from God. What are the strongest areas of your Christian life? What are the weakest areas? That's good things to think about. I know that if you ask somebody who doesn't have the gift of teaching to teach a class, you probably are going to have somebody turn green and never come back to church again. But if you take the gift of teaching, you always put them cleaning the bathrooms. You're going to have the same problem. And it isn't because one is better than another, guys. It's because this is the body of Christ. We only have two bathrooms. Well, we do have a little kid's bathroom. Let's pray.
The toilet.
The whole thing.
Yep.
Lord, we just come before you and thank you for humor. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us a body and that you are teaching us how to be one in you. Lord, let us give up those things that keep us the walls of separation. Lord, help us not to judge one another, but to be encouraging and building and loving and maybe sometimes hard, because that's the thing that's keeping others from walking with you. Lord, may we walk with you unto glory, and may we grow so close to you, Lord, we don't even know we change places. In the name of your Son, amen.
Amen.